Bright sunlight bursts from behind a cloud, and a majestic winged horse gallops forth triumphantly in slow motion. TriStar, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. Rotating flashes of silver metal turn out to be the wheels of a gyroscope suspended against a blue background. Revolution Studios. A golden-haired child with a button nose and wide blue eyes peers up over a tabletop. It's a little girl. She stands on her tiptoes in a pair of pink shoes, smiling widely as she reaches out for something on a kitchen counter. Her head bobs back down behind the counter and she disappears, only to return with two thick telephone directories which she places on the floor in front of her. Standing on top of them, she tries again, her little hands opening and closing as she stretches out her arms. Just out of reach is a large white sponge cake. Written on the icing are the words, "Congratulations, Daddy Daycare, Class of 2007. She pulls the cake closer and plucks a piece of decorative yellow icing, which she then licks from her fingers. Tugging at the corners of the cardboard cake tray, the girl steps backwards off the telephone directories. The large cake juts precariously over the edge of the kitchen table, then falls to the floor in a big mess. Daddy Day Camp. Children play happily in the grounds of a daycare centre. A yellow banner is strung up over the porch. In brightly coloured letters are the words, "Daddy Daycare Rocks." The kids run riot. One boy has carrots stuck up his nostrils. Another pees into a plant pot and scratches his bare bottom. The blonde girl scoffs a handful of cake. On the porch, two boys, Ben Hinton and Max Ryerson, shoot their water pistols into the lap of 30-something Charlie Hinton, who stands at a barbecue in a chef's hat and apron.
Get used to it, son, because when I'm good and old, you have to change my diaper.
Standing beside Charlie at the barbecue is tubby 40-something Phil Ryerson.
Another year over. I can't believe it.
I can't believe our sons are seven.
In a couple years, they'll be starting a band, growing their hair long, stealing your Suburban to go on tour.
Charlie squashes a bug.
Charlie, we have ourselves a situation.
Okay, I'll be a minute.
Phil bites into a burger with the squashed bug on it.
Rare. Bug. See?
Save room for cake.
Phil chomps away at the bug burger. Yeah. Slim, beautiful Kim Hinton steps out onto the porch, holding the blonde girl under one arm and the cake in another.
Never mind that on the cake.
Charlie sits with Phil and his wife. Ben and Max sprint past Kim.
Hey, slow down!
It was the end of Summer Olympiad. Between us and our rival camp. The final event, the relay race. Coming down the stretch, I was flying like the wind.
You were sweating sheets of rain. You could barely move in a straight line.
I was still in the lead.
Whatever.
And then I hand the baton off to Charlie. He drops it, and we lose the whole thing. And Lance Warner flew right past you to the finish line.
Lance Warner, I hated that snot-nosed little brat. He's the reason why I didn't have a good time.
The wives raise their eyebrows.
So, honey, why has Ben going on and on about going off to camp?
The permission slip's been on the fridge for 3 weeks, and he really wants to go, and I think he should.
Well, Phil and I have talked. The boys aren't going.
What do you mean they're not going?
I mean, they're not going. All those snakes and spiders and wedgies.
Look, just because you had a bad experience as a kid at camp doesn't mean our son will have one, too.
What are you talking about bad experience?
Come on, I was there. You were scarred for life.
I'm laying on the ground, staring up at my father, and he's just standing there with that look of disapproval. Just over some stupid camp game. I will not allow my son to ever let anything like that happen to him. He will know that I love and support him no matter what.
Good. Then you can love and support him going to camp.
You didn't hear what I just said?
Yes, I did. And he's not you, and you definitely are not your father. Oh, and you're driving them.
Charlie's Suburban drives down a road through dense woodland. In the front, Phil and Charlie grimace. A road sign.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You don't want to go to rival canola.
But that's where everyone goes.
No. If you want to go to camp, you want to go to Driftwood. Yeah, Camp Canola is some rundown shack on a piece of swampland.
Charlie pulls the SUV into the camp entrance, and they each peer out of their windows. A picturesque wood cabin looks out over a lake by a lush green pine forest. A waiter carries a tray of food, and kids on skateboards whiz up and down a half-pipe skate ramp in the near distance.
At least it used to be.
Ben and Max gaze in awe at the skateboarders. Kids in protective masks shoot at one another with paintball guns and weave between stacked hay bales on quad bikes. Charlie keeps driving.
It's a lake. I don't remember a lake.
A guy on a jet ski splashes three children who are playing on the jetty.
Well, this ain't nothing. Wait till you see where you guys are going. Camp Driftwood!
Camp Driftwood looks more like a lumberyard. The W on the Camp Driftwood sign comes loose and swings upside down, held to the board by one solitary nail.
What the heck?
The letter W falls to the ground with a thud. A man in a blue tracksuit backs away from a nearby wooden cabin.
Yeah, well, you're crazy, Marty! That's the best offer you're ever gonna get for this crap hole! Yeah, I'm doing you a favor, butthead! You're crazy, Marty!
To Charlie.
Are you folks lost?
No, we're here to check out the camp.
You want to bring your kids here? Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Hey, good luck with that.
The man, Lance, drives away. His yellow Jeep is emblazoned with the word Canolinator.
Okay, kids, come on.
Didn't you hear? Camp's closed.
Yes!
What happened? This place used to be the best.
Oh, now it seems like everybody wants newer, better, properly licensed and bonded. They want Camp Canola down the road. You guys went to Driftwood?
Yeah, we were here when we were kids.
Well, then you know. This place really used to be something special. And Canola was a dump. Then some rich family bought it, eventually turned it over to that mutant son of theirs.
What's going to happen to Driftwood?
Well, soon. I'm gonna have no choice but to sell it to Canola. It's a pity, because all he wants to do is bulldoze over it. Can you believe it? That kid has been a pain in my hiney since he won the 77 Olympiad. I just hate to give that jerk Lance Warner the satisfaction.
Charlie's eyes widen.
Warner? Lance Warner? He's the one that wants to buy this camp and tear it down? Our camp?
You bought a what?
It's not the whole camp. It's just a partnership with the original owner.
Look, I know the daycare center has been successful, but you've already spent a lot of our savings fixing up this house to accommodate more kids.
Sweetie, the Daddy Daycare brand means a lot in this town. Repurposing that brand into summer is just smart business.
Since when do you know how to run a camp?
That's just it. I'm not going to run the camp. Uncle Morty's going to run the camp. Phil and I are just going to help out. That way I can spend as much time with Ben as possible.
But you hate the outdoors.
Yes, but I hate Lance Warner more. There's no way my son's going to his camp.
Can you please just send him to Canola? That's where all his friends are.
No way.
Kim raises her eyebrows.
Listen, my father sent me to camp and it didn't go so great, okay? Maybe I can give Ben the positive experience I never had.
Well, just promise me you'll let this Uncle Morty do the real outdoorsy stuff. I don't want to have to send a search party to come rescue a lost butt in the woods.
Fat, white-bearded Uncle Morty peers at a goldfish swimming in a glass tank.
Come on, Sally. Now, don't play hard to get. Ooh, you little tease. I gotcha.
He puts the fish in a jar.
Ooh,
it's another beautiful woodchuck day, baby.
Hey, that's great. You remember the old cheer. Well, I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, you saved the old place.
Yeah, well, with your help, I can't wait to show that Lance Warner how to run a good old-fashioned summer camp.
Swell! I'll see you guys in September.
Say what now?
Morty puts the jar in his bag and skedaddles through the cabin door.
Excuse me. Morty, you can't leave. You're supposed to be overseeing the camp. We're partners.
I've been watching over this camp for 30 years. It's time I took a vacation, partner. Don't worry, Dale here will show you the ropes. He's the best counselor I got!
Oh, no! Marty, wait! You can't leave!
Morty tears off in his Jeep. Young, curly-haired Dale watches through a cloud of dust as a furious Charlie jumps up and down on the dirt road. Charlie spreads his arms and turns to Dale.
What was that about?
It's my first day.
Smirking, Lanky Dale chews a stick of red licorice. Dust rises from the road as a car pulls up nearby. A bespectacled man in a suit climbs out. Carrying a stack of folders, the man wanders over to Charlie and Phil.
Charles Hinton?
I'm Charlie.
I'm from FNJ Bank. No doubt your Uncle Morty informed you of the considerable liens that we have against your property.
Informed? He just took his little fishy up the road.
Well, as the business has no clients and therefore no discernible means of income, I'm afraid the bank will have no choice but to foreclose on the property.
Foreclose?
Let me ask you something. What if this camp could show discernible means of income?
Continue.
We have run the Daddy Daycare Center successfully for the past several years. Allow us to use the hard-earned trust that name brings to build in new clientele.
I suppose I could recommend to the bank that we extend the length of the debt for about a month, assuming, of course, that you can maintain the camp and a client base of at least 30 children.
We'll have this place in tip-top shape in no time!
The wooden sign collapses in a cloud of dust, and the banker raises an eyebrow. A fat guy emerges from the camp's outhouse. A sign on the wall reads bathroom.
Yeah, you got a methane problem, all right? Gonna have to have that baby pumped.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, you said it. Gonna need a whole new septic tank, new plumbing, the works. Cost you about 14.
100?
1,000.
You know what? We'll buy the kids gas masks.
It's your party, Pally, but that methane is dangerous. Your boys best be careful.
A farting noise comes from the outhouse.
Oh, Phil.
What? That wasn't me.
Charlie hammers wooden slats onto the roof of the outhouse. He wipes his brow. Phil stands atop a ladder, securing a tire swing to a wooden support. Charlie puts his hammer through the cabin roof, which collapses. Phil plays happily on the tire swing as Charlie sands a plank of wood. The wood shoots out from under his belt sander, clobbering Phil, who falls flat on his back. Charlie pretends not to notice and continues to sand more planks. Dale stands in the street handing out flyers for the Daddy Daycare Summer Camp. He hands one to a long-haired teenager, then to a pot-bellied man and his blonde wife. The teenager sneers. Brandishing a toilet brush, Charlie reluctantly approaches the disgusting outhouse toilet. The filthy toilet water bubbles. Buzz-eyed, Charlie sinks to his knees and faints. A drizzly grey day. Parents gather with their children at the town park. A preppy blonde woman stands under a polka dot umbrella with her daughter, Becca.
Okay, here's your lunch, sweetie. It's a sugar-free, wheat-free, gluten-free tofu nugget. You have your sidekick with text and GPS locator in case you get lost, and waterproof sunscreen in case it gets sunny while it's still raining.
Mother, it's day camp. I'll be 7 miles away and home before dinner. Did you take your Xanax?
Gingerhead Billy.
I don't want to go to camp in the rain. I want to stay home and watch nudie flicks on cable.
Look, the brochure said there would be sun. Please behave yourself. And for the love of God, try not to make anyone bleed.
Take your Dramamine now before you get on the bus. And then later if you're going to ride a horse. Or anything that bounces rocks or gently sways back and forth.
What about my Pepto?
Save that for lunch. And your Beano in case you have a snack.
Blonde, bespectacled Jack nods to his mother. The children hoot and cheer as a yellow school bus draws into the car park. The destination on the front of the bus reads, Camp Driftwood. Dale parks the bus and hops down into the doorway to address the children.
Ooga, ooga, skiddly, eh? It's another beautiful woodchuck day!
The kids trample Dale underfoot as they swarm into the bus.
Robert, promise me you'll put those games away and at least try to be social this summer.
Dale, scum, die!
Robert plays a handheld video game.
Carl, please don't let the other kids tease your brother.
What am I, Dr. Phil? I've got nothing to work with here.
Archibald Lawrence Mapleton?
Call me Mullet. Business up front,
party in the back, baby.
Juliet Stone!
Present!
Robert sees pretty Juliet.
Holy Hogwarts.
He sits on Carl.
Ow, watch the merchandise, dude.
The parents wave goodbye as the bus pulls away. At camp, Max and Ben watch as Charlie hoists a green Camp Driftwood flag. Phil brandishes a trumpet.
Oh,
To Max.
I still got it, huh?
I can't hear my ears!
The bus arrives.
Oh! Okay, this is it. Time to give them a summer they'll never forget.
Dale is tugging at the handbrake. Charlie's face drops as the bus crashes into the side of the cabin. Ben's mouth hangs open.
They won't forget that.
In a wood-chipped clearing, the children clamber over wooden benches and chase each other around in a frenzy. Phil covers his ears to block out the noise as Dale teaches some girls robotic dancing.
Hey guys, nature walkers, lotion up!
Charlie's handing out bows and arrows.
Okay, Robin Hoods, gather around. Everybody take a bow. There you go. It's enough for everyone. There you go.
Robert looks up from his video game and gazes longingly at cute, button-nosed Juliet. Juliet tosses her long brown hair back and forth over each shoulder, then smiles warmly and strokes her cheek. Carl approaches Robert.
Hey, Romeo, if you like her, go in that group.
No, that's okay. I've only got to kill one more.
Right. Kill your rock, you dork.
Dad, I want to be in the group with Matt.
I'm older than these babies. I should be in that group.
I didn't sign up to be with those skirts. They got cooties.
There's no such thing as cooties. It's simply a term we use to express age-appropriate discomfort, those not of our gender.
Chaos breaks out, and the children start to scream at each other. Standing on a wooden stage, Charlie pleads with them to stop, but his requests go unheard. Covering his ears, Phil climbs up onto the stage beside Charlie.
You're the one who wanted to accommodate children of all ages.
Well, at this point, we can't be too picky.
Phil leads a group of bored-looking children through the woods on a nature trail.
Okay, look here, we have grass. Some grass and a big rock.
How many more do we
have? Yeah. Oh, everybody gather around. Get in here. Can anyone tell me what kind of tree this is?
A wiry bush.
An oak?
Yeah, sure, okay. Oh, look over here with some berries. Maybe a strawberry thing? Oh, I wouldn't eat them, though. Well, watch out, poison ivy! Poison ivy, keep moving slowly behind your bush. Come on, slowly, don't touch it. Careful. Okay.
That'd be a leaf.
An archery session.
Ready? Aim!
Wait! There's a bunny! We can't shoot with a bunny in the field.
That bunny's way off to the side. You're never gonna hit that bunny.
Yeah. Yes, we can. That's good eating.
No, it's not.
Charlie strides towards the bunny.
So the Greppel Borg Rogue vessel circles around Barkon 4, loops over the Enterprise, and doubles back through the Space Nebula.
Dale teaches a circle of cross-legged children how to tie knots. They stare back at him with raised eyebrows.
We've passed this tree twice already.
Because it's a very important tree, and I wanted to emphasize it. We're not lost. We don't have alligators on the nature hike. It's not that good a camp.
See, kids? Everything's gonna be just fine.
Airborne it!
A flock of birds.
Uh-oh.
The kids fire their arrows skywards. Charlie shrieks as the falling arrows plunge into the ground around him. The children laugh. Dale's tied to a tree.
I appreciate that your kids are such quick learners, but these knots are not supposed to be used for evil!
See? Just a big, dumb, empty log.
He kicks the alligator-shaped log.
Hey!
Phil runs screaming as a cloud of bees rises from the log. Desperately swatting the air around them, Phil and the children run to a nearby brook and hobble upstream through the shallow, rocky waters. Now untied, Dale plays Simon Says with the children.
Now put two thumbs up. You guys are two, three, or four of you are out, because I didn't say Simon Says.
All right, Simon Says! Ben! Hey, Ben!
Charlie's aboard a golf cart.
Simon Says, wave at Daddy!
Ben sighs and remains still.
Good concentration, son, you know, because I'm not Simon. Good job, Dale.
Charlie spots Lance and some of the Camp Canola kids watching from a nearby hilltop. One of the kids holds a large map.
Yeah. Oh, no, so many of you are out right now. I can't even count how many.
Lance stands next to a dark-haired boy in an identical purple tracksuit.
Can I help you?
Billy.
A kid takes the map away.
Simon Says. A classic. I was just showing the kids here where the go-kart track will be laid out once you and your merry team of idiots run your camp into the ground.
First of all, it's not for sale.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, that may not be up to you. Yeah, a little something called foreclosure.
Axe coming down!
Do you see all those kids running around down there? Does that look like a business in trouble to you?
It's only day one, buddy boy. Because once all those kids see how much fun we're having over at Camp Canola, they'll be jumping ship like harbor rats.
Lance glares at his cackling sidekick.
And to make matters worse, you will never be able to beat the chief in the Olympiad.
That's him. He's the chief. And you poop in your shorts.
Nice son you got there, Lance.
I ain't my kid. I hate kids.
Charlie stomps over to Lance.
First of all, there ain't gonna be any Olympiad. And secondly, I only care about building these kids up, not tearing them down with some futile attempt at competition.
That's pathetic. You won't last a month.
Yeah, 31 days. Or 30, except for February, which stands alone.
Right, let's go.
Lance turns his back on Charlie.
Dang, he looks familiar.
Lance gets in a yellow Jeep and drives off.
Hey, Camp Canola! Set out!
Charlie's golf cart rolls down the hill. Mullet approaches a small wood hut.
Watch and learn.
A handwritten sign below a padlocked serving hatch reads, Snack Bar. Mullet picks the lock. Mullet gives the hut a kick. The walls come crashing down. Slack-jawed, Mullet stares at the shelves of free candy as the kids descend on the snack bar like a pack of wolves. Back at the main site, utter mayhem has broken out. Kids run around screaming, rubbish is strewn across the ground, and Charlie staggers towards the school bus with a boy in each arm.
Dale! Make sure you count them twice! Everybody on the... Hey, no fighting!
Oh. Billy hits Charlie with a stick.
On the bus! Get on the bus!
The leaves of a bush part to reveal Phil and his nature group.
Oh, thank God! See? This is exactly where I thought we'd come out.
They're back at camp.
You all get down to the bus. It'll be leaving any second. I've got to drop the kids off at the pool.
We have a pool?
No.
Phil heads off to the toilet.
This is the worst camp ever.
Thanks for coming.
On the bus, Max dangles a skunk by its tail.
No, no, Max!
The skunk sprays on the window.
Okay, off the bus! Everybody off the bus! Yes, off the bus! Okay, okay, relax! Oh,
what's wrong with him?
Oh, he was born with no sense of smell!
Jack puffs out his cheeks.
What's his problem?
The offer's gonna blow!
What?
Jack throws up all over Charlie's feet. Wearing goggles and breathing through a snorkel, Phil sits on the toilet reading a comic book.
Phil, we got a situation here! I need help! I need backup! I repeat, backup!
Phil lowers the volume on his walkie-talkie and returns to his comic. Suddenly, the light bulb goes out. He fumbles around in the dark and retrieves a cigarette lighter from a trouser pocket. Dale grimaces and holds his breath.
Wow. What else could go wrong?
No, 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 please.
The outhouse explodes in a shower of dust and splinters. His face black with soot and his trousers around his ankles, Phil staggers forward clutching a loo roll. A filthy toilet seat hangs around his neck.
I think we're gonna need more toilet paper.
At home in the garden, Ben sits in a paddling pool. Charlie watches as Kim bathes Ben in tomato juice.
Baby, it's just not your area of expertise. You need someone with a little bit more experience in the outdoors. Someone like your father.
You gonna go, Grandpa?
No, no, Mommy's just making a joke. don't need Buck.
Kids all over town are bathing in tomato juice thanks to you.
It was one lousy skunk and a harmless methane explosion.
Your father's a military man. You told me yourself. Buck knows everything there is to know about the outdoors. Roughing it, managing troops, survival skills.
Yeah, and he realizes it through anger, shaming, and criticism.
Here, baby, sponge yourself. Look, I know that you two have had your problems.
Problems? No. I mean, nothing I ever did was good enough for him, including sports, school, and work. But other than that...
Look, I think he could help, and I know Ben would be thrilled to see him. I think it's time that you give him a chance.
Look, baby, this is my thing, okay? I'll handle it. Now, Phil and I, we got special camp consultants coming tomorrow. It's a fresh start and a new day.
Consultants?
Yes. At camp.
It's all right here in our idea binders.
That's for you.
You just trust us.
Oh, Sil, come to me.
I'm right here.
Be with me. Think with me. We could have this entire area carpeted, shag carpet. Plant a child, a universe grows. So far for the children.
The camp consultants drive away in a red convertible.
That was a waste of time.
Hey, don't worry. When those 35 kids get off that bus, I'm going to show them adventure Charlie and Phil style.
The bus rolls down the rocky path towards camp, stopping just short of the cabin, which has been patched up with an old bedsheet. Charlie sighs with relief.
Okay, see, Phil? It's all we needed. A new day, fresh start.
Ben and Max step down off the bus.
Way to go, Dad.
What?
Seven more kids step down off the bus. Dale shrugs.
That's all we got. Most of the other parents are demanding a full refund. Let's go this way, guys.
Dragging their feet, the kids head towards the cabin. Night. Charlie and Phil sit at a long table covered with paperwork.
We only got seven kids left, Phil. There's no other way we're going to cover all these bills. We can't afford to hire consultants, much less make the foreclosure payment. I mean, we can't even afford to give refunds because that money went right back into repairs.
Charlie, you're going to have to swallow your pride and get a man in here who can help run this camp.
A man in a military uniform.
Historically, the art of using troops is this. When 10 to the enemy's one, surround them with tanks, and five times the strength you attack with airstrike. Napoleon, all maneuvers were on horseback. Saladin, camels.
He answers the phone.
Colonel Hinton. Just a sec.
He checks his watch.
Civilians, you're dismissed.
Four seated students rise to their feet and leave the room. The colonel sits down in a plush leather office chair.
That's better. How can I help you? No. Time is fine.
He leans forward, resting his elbows against the desk.
You don't say.
And that's how you treat an acute poison ivy breakout.
Mullet has a rash.
I'd like to apologize to you guys for letting you play in what I thought was clover. And Jack, I wouldn't go number two for a few weeks if I were you. I think you used that clover for toilet paper. Now, if you all would just sign these waivers, acknowledging you've been briefed on safety...
Here you go. Okay.
Excuse me. With the exception of emancipated minors, I don't believe that a personal injury waiver with confidentiality clause executed by a child is a legally binding document, Uncle Phil.
It's a raid!
Dressed as soldiers, the kids from Camp Canola storm Camp Driftwood with paintball guns and water pistols. The Driftwood kids run for it. Two Camp Canola kids give Jack a wedgie. Ben shimmies up a tree as the Canola kids chase the Driftwood kids through the camp. Two Canola kids steal the Camp Driftwood flag and run off, while their battalion pelt Phil and Dale with paint-filled water bombs. A kid clobbers Phil in the nuts. Clutching his groin, Phil collapses in the dirt. Billy screams and throws a paint bomb at Max. Charlie's tucked away in his office on the telephone.
So I can use the second mortgage on the house to pay off the bills for the camp? Great. No, Mr. Thompson, I don't need you to come out here. No. This is fine. It's just, you know, we have such a full house.
Two kids in army gear chase Max through Charlie's office.
Can I call you back?
Charlie steps out through the cabin door and stares open-mouthed at the havoc being wrought by the rival camp.
heck is going on here?
Phil is strung up between two trees, and wrapped in a net, Dale hangs upside down from a low branch. The armed invaders pelt them both with paint bombs as Lance approaches on a motorcycle. In the sidecar next to him, wearing an identical purple camouflage outfit, is his sidekick, Bobby J. Bobby hands Lance a scroll.
Open your ear holes, dweebers!
We, the mighty troops of Fort Canola, have braved Hill and Dale so that we may find who are the greatest warriors in the land!
Lance gives Bobby the scroll.
No, no, no way! You are way out of line, Lance.
Behold! The spear of honor, garnished with the flame of truth.
Lance sticks the spear into the ground.
Now I challenge ye to the XLV annual inter-camp Olympiad!
The invaders cheer.
That's the 37th Olympiad, you pea brain!
45th. I told you before, there isn't going to be any competition.
Lance leans forward.
Well, then let the onslaught continue.
High up in the tree, Ben sighs. Lance sounds a horn and his troops disperse. The invaders have left Camp Driftwood. Ben and Charlie are now picking up trash from the ground. Carl approaches a paint-splattered Robert, who stares longingly at Juliet.
Now's your chance. Go say something.
Robert sighs and trudges over to Juliet, who's scrubbing paint from her thigh.
Do you like World of Warcraft?
World of what?
I'm a level 40 Blood Elf Druid.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Goodbye.
I like causing destruction, not cleaning up after it.
Is that why you threw a paint grenade at your own campmate during a raid?
What can I say? War is hell, skunk boy.
Billy wrestles Max to the ground. Charlie rushes over. Charlie drags Billy to his feet.
Attention!
The children fall silent. The colonel stands watching them.
I see this unit's morale is flagging. There is only one solution for that. All those who are my grandson, front and center, come here, you little peanut.
Grandpa Buck!
Ben runs into Colonel Buck's arms.
Do you remember this maneuver? Sneak attack at tickle point.
Buck tickles Ben under the arms, then puts him down and sends him running back to his friends.
Everyone, this is my father, Colonel Buck Hinton.
Reporting for duty, Corporal.
Please don't call me that.
Buck glares.
All right, then. Private.
Buck cuts Dale down from the tree.
Gentlemen, ladies, what I just witnessed was a mutiny among campers that is unacceptable from this point forward. Now, front and center, double time. I'll make soldiers out of you if it's the last thing I do.
No, wait a minute. There is no mutiny. Everything is under control. This is not why I called you.
Why the misconduct, soldier?
We got raided by Camp Canola.
Yeah.
Sneak attack, huh? Well, I'm sorry, Private. We should be planning a counterattack. Meet force with force. I say we hit him at nightfall.
Yeah!
No.
Driftwood day camp. I say we hit him at 5 when the sun is in their eyes.
Yeah!
Guys, can you excuse us for a minute?
Charlie takes Buck to one side.
This is not a boot camp, all right? We're not looking for Colonel Hinton, War Games consultant. We're looking for Colonel Hinton, experienced team builder / king of the outdoors. Okay? I mean, we're not trying to turn these kids into Marines.
Buck glowers at Charlie.
What's wrong with being a Marine? Maybe if you had enlisted, you'd know how to work yourself out of a jam instead of calling in reinforcements.
Okay. Listen, yes, I do appreciate you coming. Yes, we do need your help, but we don't want to get into this thing with Camp Canola.
No war games.
No.
Hand-to-hand combat. Guerrilla warfare.
No war. No war. Just help us run Driftwood, right? Can you follow those orders, Dad?
Buck looks Charlie in the eye.
That's Colonel to you, Private.
Buck marches the children through the woods.
Line up.
G.I. Joe is turning red. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I. Joe is turning black. Someone made our bodies out. G.I.
Marching single file behind Buck, the unit climb a steep, rocky hillside. Buck stops and peers through a small pair of binoculars. He spots the camp driftwood flag flying on Camp Canola's flagpole. His expression hardens. Buck and the children sit cross-legged in the woods.
In through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. The samurai warrior meditates to blend mind and body into harmony.
Suddenly, several quad bikes invade the clearing and begin circling the children. And Bobby J.
Hey! Relax, General Depends! Hey, shouldn't you be at some bingo game or something?
I-27! G-13!
All right, boys! Let's move them out!
B-17!
That tears it. Rules of engagement? Been overruled.
A kid on a quad bike patrols the perimeters of Camp Canola. In the bushes and out of sight, Buck crouches beside the children. He points at the stolen Camp Driftwood flag.
There's the objective. Anyone unclear on their role?
No, sir.
Anyone want to go home?
No, sir.
Operation Moon Pie is a go.
The children wear leaves and branches as camouflage. They creep after Buck, who leads them down towards the camp.
It's right up here.
Two camp counselors round a corner by a sign that reads Day Spa. Behind their backs, a hollow tree trunk sprouts legs and scuttles by unnoticed. A kid disguised as a wooden bin stops on the gravel path. The tree trunk bumps into the bin and topples over, a wiggling pair of feet protruding from inside it. Buck lifts the tree trunk to its feet, and followed by the others, they proceed stealthily along the gravel path towards Camp Canola. An open-mouthed black bear rug adorns the floor of a plush cabin, where Lance sits at a desk, searching through old photographs.
Where is it? I know that loser from somewhere. Where is it? Oh.
He spots a newspaper cutting and picks it up.
Jackpot!
Camp Canola wins 1977 Camp Olympics.
Charlie Hinton!
Lance answers the door to Becca and Juliet.
Can I help you?
Hi, my name's Becca.
I'm Juliet.
And we've come to offer you the Driftwood Olive Branch of Peace. In exchange for our friendship, all we ask is that you return our flag.
Oh, did Charlie send his little bitty girls to do his bidding for him, huh?
Let's put it this way. Either you give it back, or we take it.
You in what army, Petunia?
You had to ask.
The two girls scarper.
Ask what?
An egg splatters Lance's tracksuit top. Lance glances down at the mess. The Camp Driftwood platoon rise up from behind the bushes and pelt Lance with eggs and paintballs.
You're messing with Lance! Water!
Lance has locked himself out. Carl fires paintballs from a bazooka made from an upturned bicycle and a length of drainpipe. Jack waves at Lance from inside the cabin. Lance shakes his fist. Juliet and Becca draw back a makeshift slingshot and pelt Lance with paintballs. They high-five each other.
Hey, water!
Max throws a cream pie in Lance's face, and Ben splats him with a paintball.
Yes!
That's my boy!
Sound the alarm! Red alert!
Mullet sneaks up behind Lance and attaches a rope to his tracksuit bottoms. He then runs back to Billy, who's tied the other end to a yellow Jeep. Billy hotwires the vehicle and puts his foot down. The rope tightens, whisking away Lance's trousers. Open-mouthed, he hurriedly covers his yellow Y-fronts.
Hey, Dale, you seen Buck? He's supposed to be back with the kids about an hour ago.
I wouldn't sweat it. Your dad's like the most responsible guy I've ever met.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Chased by Lance, Jack, Max, and Carl sprint back to the others of the Jeep. They hoist Lance's tracksuit bottoms in place of the stolen flag.
Oh, no, no, no! Give me my pants back!
Well, here's your diaper.
A towel.
Clean yourself off.
Buck tips his hat and turns to the kids.
Move out!
They drive off in the Jeep.
But no! Get back here, you cowards! No one messes with Lance Warner, you hear me? No one!
A crowd of Camp Canola kids has gathered behind Lance. They burst out laughing as he turns to face them. He's covered in white paint, and his yellow Y-fronts have little pink stars on them. Bobby J shakes his head in disappointment. Lance beckons him with his index finger as he swaggers back towards the cabin. Returning to Camp Driftwood,
where have you guys been? Your nature hike was supposed to be back over an hour ago.
Present colors.
Standing in a line, the kids pass the Camp Driftwood flag to Ben, who presents it to Charlie.
You didn't?
Yes, sir.
Robert, what happened to your head?
It's just a battle wound.
He looks at Juliet, who smiles.
Dale, go get the first aid kit. You take these kids off of premises without permission slips, and you bring them back like this?
Affirmative.
See, this is exactly the thing I was afraid of!
We restored our honor, Dad! It was just...
Hey!
Lance pulls up in the canola-nator.
Hey! What kind of insane militant nut factory are you running here, huh? Huh, Charlie Hinton? Driftwood class of 77? That's right, I know who you are.
Listen, Lance, I'm really sorry about this. As a matter of fact, my father and I were just about to have a discussion about...
This is your father? Oh, this is classic. Oh, sure. Yeah, the chickens come home to roost, huh? Now I know why you don't want to compete in the Olympiad. Hey, because you're afraid of getting your butt kicked again in front of Lieutenant Prune Juice.
Colonel.
Hey, Colonel. Sorry.
Look, Lance, I'm just trying to teach these kids about sportsmanship.
No, Charlie. The only thing you can teach these kids is how to lose. Huh? Or have you forgotten? Daddy! Look at me!
Lance and Bobby J mime the passing of a baton, which Lance pretends to drop in slow motion.
I'm a failure.
He high-fives Bobby.
You know why my parents bought Camp Canola for me?
No, why?
Because that summer when I kicked your butt, that was the best moment of my life. And now, every day when I wake up, I get to live that dream. And it is fantastic!
Peaked when you were 11, did you, Lance?
See, I get it, Charlie. Yeah, you don't want your kid to end up a loser like you.
Like father, like son.
Charlie turns his back and stomps off towards the cabin.
Oh, sure! Now that's cool, you walk away. Yeah, because refusing to compete just proves to the community which camp they should send their kids to. Mine. Adios.
Lance turns to leave, but Charlie returns and drives the Spear of Honor into the ground behind him.
What I'd really like to do is kick your butt. Being as we're trying to set a good example here, mister, you got yourself an Olympiad.
Fantastic.
Lance drives off as Charlie returns to the kids.
Good, 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 good job, good job. Now, the great Julius Caesar once...
You were way out of line with what you did today. Now, if we do this thing, we do it my way. You got it?
Affirmative.
Good. Now, what do you think we should do?
Back home, Charlie packs clothes into a bag.
A sleepover? I thought the whole purpose of a day camp was that you sent the kids home at the end of the day.
Hey, it was your idea to get my father involved. And according to Buck, the best way to build team unity is to put the kids in a new situation where they have to work together to overcome stuff.
Well, I think someone wants to impress his own father.
Charlie rolls his eyes.
Listen, this Olympiad is going to be good for business. Once those canola parents see how well our kids work together, we might just drum up new customers.
Honey, if you think parents are going to switch camps based off of who wins some silly events...
Mrs. Hinton?
Yes?
I'm Edward Thompson from the bank.
He leads a procession of besuited men into the house.
Yes, I am aware of who you are, but what are you doing in my house?
Is that real Tiffany crystal?
A vase on the piano.
It is standard procedure for us to do a pre-inventory prior to the foreclosure.
Yes, but the first installment is not due until next week.
Well, true. But with only six campers, it is mathematically impossible for
Actually,
you to...
Actually, there's seven campers.
What's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on. We overextended ourselves with the camp, and now strange men are touching the furniture, messing with my mama's vase, and that Mr. Thompson is threatening to take my house away.
Okay, okay. I know what I gotta do.
What?
I'll sell the camp.
Listen to me. If you believe by winning this Olympiad that more kids will come to the camp, then you go kick some Lance Warner butt.
Kim purses her lips. Wide-eyed, Charlie kisses her. Charlie runs off to pack. At the camp, Buck rests his elbow on a picnic table and locks hands with Billy. Staring each other in the eye, they begin to arm wrestle. Come up to the day, keep your heads up, I'm not joking. The kids stand in two rows doing star jumps. Robert stands behind Juliet with his arms by his sides, watching in a love-struck daze as she jumps up and down in front of him. Phil exercises too. Sweating profusely, Phil collapses. Mullet aims his bow and arrow at a bird in flight. Buck gently guides the bow downwards to point at a target of concentric circles. Mullet releases the arrow and it strikes the bullseye. Mullet, Becca and Billy combine their strength to arm wrestle Buck, but his hand remains steady. The kids run over two rows of car tires which lie flat on the ground. Billy trips over, and the kids fall on him in a big heap. Using only sticks, Ben and Becca work together to start a fire. Smoke rises from the twigs, and they high-five each other. Charlie takes photographs. Buck has Robert and Carl tied together at the leg and is marching them through a field. The brothers trip and fall over in the grass. Working as a team, all nine of the kids arm wrestle Buck at the picnic table. His arm finally gives way, and he smiles as the kids leap around in celebration. Buck leads the kids through the woods. Ben and Charlie follow them in the golf cart.
Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them in a
knot? Come on, son, do your ears hang low?
I know the song.
Well, what? You don't like being in the support vehicle with your old man? Instead of out there with all that poison ivy and rocks and whatnot, bugs?
It's supposed to be a hike. I look like a goober. What?
Ben joins them.
Okay. You're right.
Carl and Robert march behind Juliet. Robert can't take his eyes off her.
Oh, look at her. She even puts on bug spray like an angel. You're pathetic. Go walk with her. Get your groove on, dude.
What makes you such an expert? You're only six.
I know that I'm not going to spend the best years of my life buried in video games.
Oh, shut up. Don't make...
Robert and Carl fall about fighting.
Hey, buddy.
Phil hands a chocolate bar to Max and approaches a forlorn Billy, who walks on his own apart from the group.
Hey, Billy. What's going on?
Nothing.
No wet willies to dish out? Maybe you could switch over to the purple nurple.
I already gave one a May offer. It's just, I don't like sleepovers. That's all.
And why is that?
Billy looks away.
Come on, Billy. You can always trust the fat guy. I'm not going to tell anybody. Cross my heart, hope to die it.
Billy hangs his head.
Sometimes wet the bed.
What?
I sometimes wet the bed.
Oh. You know what? I had the same problem till I was darn near 10.
Really? What did you do at sleepovers?
An excellent question, my young friend. I think you'll be intrigued by the answer.
Phil puts his arm around Billy, and they walk together through the woods. Mullet drags his bag behind him.
Get that equipment off the ground!
is dumb. Why would that walk so far?
Far? Halt! Now, you listen up, hippie hair. How are you going to compete against Camp Canola tomorrow morning with that kind of attitude? We have 12 events staring at us dead in the eye. We have got to toughen up. When I was your age, I used to march 6 miles into the woods just to be able to spend a night alone in a tree and focus on a goal. I used to put rocks in my backpack just to get stronger. That's how you grow up to be a man. Isn't that right, Ben?
Ben nods.
All right, let's head out. Forward, march, hip, hip.
Ben hangs back and collects 3 white rocks from the ground. He stuffs them into his backpack as Charlie approaches.
Hey, Ben, what are you doing there, son?
Nothing.
Charlie glances down at the remaining rocks as Ben heads off to rejoin the others. Night falls, and the gang sit around a campfire surrounded by empty cans of food.
Oh, I'm so full.
I'm fuller than you.
No one's as full as me. But now I've got room for dessert. Who wants more?
Phil digs in Charlie's backpack.
Anything I can help you with?
Can't find the chocolate or the marshmallows.
What are you talking about? They're in my bag.
He reaches inside it.
Who wants chocolate?
The kids groan as Charlie pulls out a bag of fruit.
What are we gonna roast?
The fruit.
I met a woman named Juanita who eats mosquitoes down a Bogalusa highway late last night. I took her dancing in the stars, her hair was shining.
Nice job, Hinton. Your dad is such a swing. I gotta roast something with a pit in it.
Shut up. I don't like it any more than you do. It's not my fault.
Juliet runs her fingers through her hair.
Dude, trust me. A star-filled sky, the warm glow of a fire, she'll be like silly putty in your hands.
What makes you such an expert?
Look, you know how grown-ups are always saying that they wish they knew then what they know now?
Yeah.
Well, I know.
How are we ever gonna beat Canola with little runts like you on our team?
Yeah. What you gonna do, Tiny? Finger pain until they surrender?
Billy and Mullet laugh, and Ben runs away upset. Jack looks at his blackened banana.
I think I burned my banana.
Hey, Juanita! Who eats mosquitoes?
Robert sits down beside Juliet.
Hello. Hey. How are you doing this fine evening?
Pretty good. Never roasted a pear before, but it smells good.
Ah, yes, smells are good, and, you too smell, Juliet. Good. You smell.
Sorry. It must have been from the hike, because...
Robert takes a deep breath and looks her in the eye.
It's a nice night.
Yeah.
Starry skies. A warm fire. Good food.
He takes a bite of roast fruit and gasps as the hot food burns his mouth. Carl hangs his head as Robert runs off.
Idiot!
Charlie emerges from his tent and sits down next to Buck.
Great place you got there. What's the mortgage like?
What are you doing, sleeping in a hollowed-out log or something?
It's called camping, that private. You should try it.
Yes, right.
Charlie looks at Jack.
Jack, I think that banana is about as cooked as it's gonna get there.
It's so slimy.
No, it's roasting. It's supposed to bring out the flavor. Try it. You'll like it, I promise.
Jack licks some yellow goo from the charred banana peel.
Good, right?
Clutching his stomach, Jack runs towards Charlie's tent.
No!
The children groan as Jack throws up inside Charlie's tent.
Nasty.
You feel better?
Yeah. Charlie peers into the tent and his face creases into a grimace. Coughing and spluttering, Charlie turns his head to look upwards. A splodge of yellow vomit lands on his forehead. The children bed down by the campfire as Phil helps Charlie cordon off the vomit-filled tent with yellow tape. Buck strolls over to Jack, who lies in his sleeping bag, shining a flashlight into the night sky.
Sure you're gonna need that sun? Good Lord's filling the sky with a million nightlights. Just for you.
Jack reaches down into his sleeping bag and hands Buck the flashlight.
Don't know why you got your panties in a wad tonight, Mayhoffer. We're all getting butt spackled tomorrow anyways.
What are you talking about?
You don't seriously think we can beat those rich canola kids?
Yeah, they're gonna cream us.
Cream? Cream is for coffee.
Jack smiles.
Okay, listen up, troops. It's come to my attention that some of you don't believe we can win tomorrow. Okay, maybe they have fancy equipment. Gold-plated toilet paper. We got something those snotty-nosed silver spoon brats will never have. Do you want to know what that is?
Lice?
Driftwood spirit. I didn't think you guys had it. But the way you pulled yourselves together today made me prouder than any platoon I've ever led.
We couldn't have done it without you.
Nonsense. You couldn't have done it without this.
Heart.
Because it's driftwood camp spirit that links us all together and makes it all possible. You're not just a bunch of kids that came together in camp. You're a team. Team!
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 You're a team!
Team!
Team, tomorrow you're going to take those lobster eating,
yeah!
Those Humvee driving,
yeah!
Canola cretins, and you're going to throw them in a dumper.
Yeah!
The children rise to their feet and punch the air.
You don't think you're setting them up for a pretty big letdown?
Well, in order to win the battle, one must first believe in the success of the mission.
It's been a long time since you've been in battle.
Minor technicality.
Hey, have you guys seen Ben? I can't find him.
They quickly form a search party and head off through the woods. Carl, Robert, and Juliet shine their flashlights down a hollow log.
Ben! Are you in there?
The gang trek through the forest, calling Ben's name into the shadows. Three kids break off and scour the long grass. Ben climbs down from a tree.
Ben! Ben! Get down from there! What are you doing? Here, down from there. Where you been, man? We've been looking all over for you. Listen, don't ever scare me like that again. You hear me?
I'm okay. I just wanted to be like Grandpa, that's all.
Oh, so you just wandered off in the woods by yourself? You know how dangerous that is?
Grandpa said it's what made him tough, so I thought he'd do the same for me.
What?
Charlie hangs his head.
All right, guys, listen up. Listen to me. Let me tell you a little something about being tough, okay? Being tough doesn't necessarily make you a hero, all right? Sometimes tough people grow up to be arrogant and selfish and stubborn. You guys just need to be yourselves, all right? And know that by being yourselves, you're going to be winners no matter what.
Even if we choke like you?
Especially if you choke like me.
Billy smirks.
Listen. I want you guys to grow up to be kind and caring and accepting of people, even if they make mistakes. So, Ben, don't try to be so tough, okay? Just try to be your best. That's all that matters.
Okay.
Okay?
Charlie gives Ben a hug.
Okay, my little Olympians. Time to rest up for the big day.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Bill hangs back with Charlie as the kids follow Dale back to camp.
Buck, like, what was I thinking?
It's the only way he knows, Charlie.
Yeah, well, if that means him jeopardizing any more of these kids, he can just keep it. I don't want Ben to grow up to be anything like my father. Let's go.
Charlie and Phil start back towards camp. Having overheard, Buck emerges from behind a tree and watches as they leave. He trudges off. Phil lies sleeping in his tent. Beside him, Charlie lies on his back, swatting at a mosquito. He writhes awkwardly, trying to get comfortable, but the mosquito won't leave him alone. Closing his eyes, he curls up with his head resting on the pillow. Just when he seems to be settled, Phil farts.
Oh, what the heck is... Oh, you nasty...
Charlie unzips the tent and climbs out.
Oh, this is a mistake!
Charlie wraps his sleeping bag around him like a cape and staggers towards the campfire where the kids lie sleeping. He steps over a slumbering child and glances about for somewhere to lay his head. Striding away from the campfire, he slips and lands flat on his back. The sun comes up and Billy wakes to the sound of the others playing. He's slept in his clothes.
Wait for me!
He sits upright and looks around to make sure he's alone. Reluctantly, he peels back his sleeping bag and pats down his shorts.
Yes! It worked! I'm dry!
See? Told you, Billy. You can always fool the bedwetting goblins. Just sleep in your day clothes. Go play with the kids.
Billy springs up and runs off to play. Groaning, Charlie throws back his sleeping bag and sits up. He has a leaf stuck to his face. He removes it and dusts himself off. Then, clutching his stiff back, he hobbles to his feet.
Relax, Charlie.
Oh, thank you.
Look around.
The kids play happily together. Juliet and Becca play patty cake. Ben plays catch.
Oh, would you look at that? They're all running around having a good time. Oh, Buck's gonna go on and on about how he was right, and I'm way too overprotective.
I don't think Buck's gonna be going on and on about anything. I haven't seen him all morning.
Charlie looks concerned.
Huh.
In a lush field at the foot of majestic mountains, a banner reads, 45th Intercamp Olympiad. Seated at a small table, Lance holds out a clipboard to passers-by.
Sign up for camp, please. Yep. Driftwood? Okay, do you want to sign up? No, you
can't. Lance's stand is adorned with numerous trophies.
Well, we've obviously destroyed their camp over the last couple of years. I'm thinking once we kick Driftwood's butt one more time, this is where the new hardware goes. What do you say? It's going to be great. Oh! Hey, Chuck E. Cheese!
Charlie arrives.
Are you a little nervous? Let me give you the 411 on the day's events.
Okay.
The Olympiad starts. Your team sucks. You lose. The end.
Charlie pats him on the shoulder.
Good luck, Lance.
Charlie walks off.
Don't need luck.
Led by Becca, the Driftwood team do stretching exercises. A small crowd has gathered nearby to watch children wrestling.
Okay, I'll take it from here.
Jack gasps as a child gets suplexed in the wrestling ring.
Forfeit! I forfeit!
Have you seen Grandpa Buck?
Yeah, little Buck has been gone a long time. Yeah.
Guys, I'm sure he'll be here. Okay, so just reach to the left. Stretch.
Charlie turns to Phil.
No news yet on Buck. I have Margaret driving all over town, but I did find this in your office.
Charlie, Uncle Sam called about another job, which is just as well, seeing as things aren't working out here. You're tough, Colonel Buck.
I'll keep looking.
Okay.
Is that from Grandpa?
Ben sees the note.
Yes. Yes, it is.
He's not coming back?
Well, no.
He's the one that showed us how to do everything.
Yeah, we're gonna get whooped, and I don't get whooped. I do the whooping.
We're doomed. Doomed, I tell you.
Wait a minute. All right, just because Buck got called away to serve his country in the middle of the night doesn't mean we just take everything he taught us and just let it go to waste.
He deserted us. Not so much as to see ya.
No. He didn't. No, it's here in the letter. Listen. Dear Ben, Max, Juliet, Robert, Carl, Jack, Becca, Billy, and Mullet. I'm sorry to leave in the middle of the night without even saying see ya. But it's important that you don't panic. The 103rd Airborne is staging maneuvers tonight, and let's just say they could learn a thing or two about teamwork from you guys.
The 103rd was retired after World War II.
Tell you what, they're bringing it back.
We can't do this without Buck.
Yeah.
Sure you can. And you know what? He would have wanted it that way. You know why? Because we're a family. And we're going to pull each other up because that's what families do.
Well, family's so important. Why'd Grandpa Buck leave?
Yeah.
Shaking their heads, the disappointed children skulk off past Kim, who strolls towards Charlie. Charlie lets out a big sigh as Kim approaches.
Going that well, huh?
Best day of my life.
Well, Ben seems upset about Buck leaving.
Yeah.
You know why grandkids and grandparents get along so well? They're united by a common enemy.
Makes sense.
I'm just saying that maybe if you and Buck could unite around each other's strengths, Ben could have the best of both worlds.
She gives him a kiss.
Go get him, Coach. For all of us.
Kim smiles at Charlie and walks away. Holding a white leaflet, Bill comes over.
Good news. Found this in Buck's cab.
It's a train timetable. The 8:45 train is circled in red pen.
Don't worry. I'll watch after the kids. You go make things right.
Thanks.
Charlie sprints off. At the train station, the clock reads 8:45. Charlie runs onto the platform, but the train is leaving. Amidst a small crowd, a couple meet their teenage boy on the platform. Charlie looks around, then hangs his head. The family walks away and the crowd disperses, revealing Buck. Charlie glances over at him. Sitting on a wooden bench with his bags by his side, Buck seems to be staring at the floor. He slumped forward with his elbows resting on his knees, holding a bit of wood in his hands. Charlie strolls slowly over to the bench and sits down beside him.
You missed your train.
I missed a train. Haven't really decided which one I'm getting on yet.
I thought you had to be back for maneuvers.
That's true. But next year, it's about as often as they let a broke-down retiree come out and play with the reservists.
Closing his eyes, Charlie nods.
Retiree.
Yeah. About the only action I get these days is when college students are doing research papers on military history.
Charlie sighs. Buck whittles the bit of wood with his knife.
So, you abandoned your post this morning.
Buck looks up.
Good soldier knows when he's in hostile territory.
You heard me last night, didn't you? I guess I've had a few things on my mind over the last 30 years or so.
I didn't even know you felt that way. Strange getting older. Easier remembering things the way you wish they were.
Charlie listens intently. Buck sticks out his chin and stares straight ahead.
I want you to know I'm proud of the man you've become.
Charlie blinks.
The way you make adjustments in the field, like opening a daycare center when you lost your job.
Buck cocks his head to one side and takes a deep breath.
Me, I wouldn't be able to do that.
A fleeting smile plays on Charlie's lips.
Always needed more structure.
Buck hangs his arm over the back of the bench and looks away.
I'm far from perfect, believe me. Far from it.
Charlie glances at Buck, then stares ahead with a look of determination.
I know one thing, though. Those kids are going to be crushed. Unless your leathery old butt comes back.
Buck turns swiftly and looks Charlie in the eye. Charlie beams, and Buck smiles back at him. At the Olympiad, Ben and Becca compete with Camp Canola in the fire-making competition.
Do you smell gasoline?
Ben and Becca gasp as the Canola Kid's sticks suddenly burst into flames. Bobby J crouches behind a tree with a can of gasoline. This is war. Carl and Mullet take the lead in a three-legged race. Hiding behind a bale of hay at the side of the racetrack, a skinny Camp Canola Kid pulls a tripwire taut, sending them tumbling to the ground. The Driftwood Kids groan as the Canola team jump around on the finish line. Smiling, Lance and Bobby J bump knuckles. Phil shepherds the Driftwood team away from the racetrack.
Minor setback, people. We'll get them in the next event.
Wrestling? Have you seen Max wrestle?
He's right. I suck.
Yeah, and that canola guy's hairier than my grandmother's mole.
We're stewed!
Can't we just go home? This is embarrassing.
No one's going anywhere until we win this thing.
Grandpa Buck! Yeah!
The kids give Buck a hug.
Okay. Hands in, soldiers.
Buck and the kids put their hands together.
Ooga, ooga, skiddly-ay!
It's another beautiful watch-out day!
The kids scatter, leaving Ben with Buck.
I knew you'd come back, Grandpa. We couldn't do this without you.
That's where you're wrong. Your dad is the hero.
My dad?
Buck bends down on one knee.
Don't you realize he did all of this just for you? You're pretty lucky to have Charlie Hinton as a father.
Charlie watches.
He's a better soldier than I'll ever be. I could never run a camp like he can or watch over you and your mom like he does. He may be a little overprotective, but it's only because he loves you so much.
Charlie looks touched. The others rush back and gather around Ben and Buck.
Colonel, we've got a problem.
Yeah, dude.
What's the situation on the ground, soldiers?
My calculations suggest they've cheated in nearly every event.
Cheaters, huh? Well, the only way to beat cheaters is by outsmarting them. I've got an idea.
Come on. Okay. Okay, okay. Listen up. First, we're gonna need the skunk.
In the ring, a fat boy in a purple spandex wrestling outfit slaps himself about the head. Lance looks at his watch.
Ref, come on, man. I'm growing old.
Look, here he comes!
Beaming with excitement, Ben points a finger. A stink cloud of skunk gas rises from Max as he strides confidently over the hill towards them. Buck, Charlie, and Dale are close behind. The crowd goes wild. In the wrestling ring, Max faces off with the fat boy. The fat boy takes one sniff of Max and faints. The referee blows his whistle, and Camp Driftwood win the match. As the referee keels over, Max goes to hug Charlie. Charlie fends him off. Canola and Driftwood face off for a tug of war. A huge bespectacled canola kid steps over the rope and picks it up. Charlie raises his hand.
Substitution!
Charlie takes Billy out and puts Jack in. Billy waits to compete in a marshmallow eating contest. The referee sounds his whistle and Billy tucks in, gobbling as fast as he can from a huge glass bowl in front of him. At an archery event, Buck and Mullet watch as a camp canola kid draws back on his bow. He fires the arrow and hits bullseye. Lance high-fives the kid. At the tug of war, Jack grows increasingly sick as he is pulled back and forth by the rope. Suddenly, Jack vomits, drenching the big canola kid, who immediately lets go of the rope. Team Canola comes splashing down in the mud, and Team Driftwood win the match. Mullet draws back on his bow and lets his arrow fly. It splits the canola kid's arrow down the center as it plunges into the bullseye. At the eating contest, the canola kid leans over a pile of marshmallows as Billy polishes off the last few remaining in his bowl. Robert competes in an egg and spoon race. His opponent drops her egg and Robert clambers over a hay bale to the finish line. Juliet throws her arms around him, and he drops the spoon. Grinning, Dale embraces Buck and is met with a hard stare. Billy swallows his last remaining marshmallow, and the judge lifts Billy's hand in victory. In a balloon toss, Robert is paired with Mullet and Jack with Carl. Phil and the others cheer from the sidelines. Robert throws the water-filled balloon, but it explodes in mid-air. Mullet stomps off, and Team Driftwood look confused.
Oh, that's too bad, Driftwood. That's tough luck. Good hands, though, kid. Good hands.
Becca spots Bobby J hiding in the bushes with a slingshot.
We got a sharpshooter. We gotta do something.
Billy screws up his freckly face.
Give me a balloon.
Juliet hands him a deflated balloon, and he strides off.
Water pump's over there.
Oh, I'm not filling it with water. I've been holding this in all night.
Bobby J chuckles to himself as he fires his slingshot. Holding a balloon filled with pee, Billy taps Bobby J on the shoulder.
You shouldn't pick on kids smaller than you.
Billy bursts the balloon on Bobby J's head. Bobby runs screaming from the bushes. His hair is dripping wet. The distracted canola team's balloon bursts. Camp Driftwood take the game. Phil lifts Carl into his arms.
Suck it up! Let's go! Easy! Embarrassing!
A red button is set into the top of a climbing wall at the finish line of a short racetrack. Phil massages Mullet's shoulders and Lance addresses Bobby.
Hey, let's go get him. Okay, remember what we talked about?
Right? We need this one. We need this one. That look familiar, Charlie? Huh? You lose this, it's deja vu all over again.
Yeah, well, I got my best athlete here waiting to change history. Let's go, buddy. Come on. Oh, you okay?
I twisted my ankle when I fell. I can shoot the arrow fine, but...
But can you climb?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You know, you can forfeit, Charlie, if you like.
No, it's okay, it's okay. Who's our best climber?
The gathered children stand aside to reveal Ben, his chest puffed out in a show of courage.
Uh-oh.
I can do it, Dad.
Okay, all right, come on, son. Come on.
You gotta race that kid. Oh, that's gonna be tough, huh?
Yeah, real tough.
Ah, like father, like son, huh?
Don't listen to him. Come on, buddy.
All right, come on, let's go.
Ben has to race Bobby J.
Okay, Ben, listen to me. Whatever you do, don't drop the baton, okay?
Ben, just enjoy it.
Huh? Ben nods. Max sprints off the start line, carrying a blue baton. He glances back at his competitor as he tears down the grassy racetrack. Max reaches Ben and hands him the baton, but Ben loses his grip on it. Charlie clenches his eyes shut as it bounces around in Ben's open hands. With a look of intense concentration, Ben closes his hands around the baton and starts for the climbing wall. Charlie hoots with delight, and Buck raises his clenched fists in the air. Ben and Bobby J are neck and neck at the climbing wall. Ropes are attached to their harnesses and they start to climb.
Come on, get up there! Come on, Ben! Get up the legs,
Ben edges into the lead. Ben suddenly loses his grip and plummets to the ground. The rope saved him from any harm.
It's okay. It's okay, son.
I told you, you're a loser, just like your old man.
You're not a loser, Ben. He greased the wall. He's cheating.
No, don't listen to her. She's a compulsive liar. Hey, and she steals.
You cheated. You're a cheater.
Becca showed the crowd a can of grease. Ben sprints to a tree beside the climbing wall and quickly starts to climb.
Ben, no, get down from there. That's dangerous, Ben. Ben!
Ben clambers up through the branches and has soon overtaken Bobby J.
That's dangerous! Ben, that's dangerous!
Pounce, Bobby J, here we go!
A tree branch snaps. Kim covers her face.
Bobby J, go!
Ben swings from the tree on his climbing rope and punches the button. The crowd go wild, and Lance flings the can of grease down on the grass. Ben descends the climbing wall on the rope as his teammates celebrate on the sidelines. The camp canola supporters all leave.
All right, Bobby J, come here.
Come here, buddy!
I did it, Dad!
Oh, I know it, buddy!
I love you, Dad!
I love you too, son! I love you too, you crazy kid!
You call that canola? That was embarrassing! What are you, a moron?
Bobby J kicks Lance, who falls over, uprooting a guy rope supporting the climbing wall.
Wall coming down.
The climbing wall comes crashing down on Lance's table of trophies.
That's for telling everyone you're not my dad.
Dale hugs the kids.
I'm so glad. Let's go tell my mom. She's here to pick me up.
To Robert.
You're really great in the egg relay.
She kisses him on the cheek and skips off. Robert is gobsmacked.
What'd I tell you?
Chicks love gold medalists.
Teach me everything you know.
Well, first you got a bird, and then you got a bee.
Sobbing, Lance falls to his knees.
Why? Why?
A crowd of parents nervously talk amongst themselves as they approach Charlie and Phil.
Mr. Hinton? Hi. All the parents are talking, and we think Camp Canola may not set the best example for our children.
And so, if it's not too short of notice, we all would like our kids to come to your camp as soon as possible.
Too short of notice? Don't be silly. There's room enough for everyone.
Oh. Yeah. Yell and I can sign all you guys up.
The parents clamor to sign their kids up at Camp Driftwood. Buck is chatting with two mums.
It's really my son.
Colonel?
Charlie approaches him.
Job well done.
Charlie looks Buck in the eye and salutes him. Buck pulls Charlie's hand down.
Just call me Dad.
Wide-eyed, Charlie throws his arms around Buck and they embrace. Ben runs over and Charlie lifts him up in his arms.
Hey, what do you say we go get the trophy?
Yeah!
With Ben in his arms and Buck's hand placed affectionately on his shoulder, Charlie strides happily towards Phil and Team Driftwood. ITFC audio description by Sam Clark. Directed by Fred Savage. Produced by William Sherak and Jason Schumann. Screenplay by Jeff Rodkey, J. David Stem and David N. Weiss. Story by Joel Cohen and Alex Sokoloff. Executive producers: Nancy Kierhofer, Jefferson Richard, Derek Dowkey, Richard Hull, Chris Emerson, Matt Berenson and John Davis. Co-producers: Rhiannon Meyer, Adam F. Goldberg. Casting by Lindsay Hayes Kroger and David H. Rappaport. Extras casting, Gail Minkovich Jensen. Cast: Charlie Hinton, Cuba Gooding Jr., Lance, Lachlan Monroe, Buck, Richard Gant, Kim Hinton, Tamala Jones, Phil, Paul Ray. Dale: Joshua McLaren, Ben, Spencer Bridges, Uncle Morty, Brian Doyle Murray, Max, Dallin Boyce, Juliet, Talise Galanis. Carl, Taggart Hurtubise. Becca, Molly Jepson. Robert, Tad D'Agostino. Billy, Tiger Rawlings. Jack, Talon Ackerman. Mullethead, Zachary Allen. Bobby J, Sean Patrick Flaherty. Thompson, Richard J. Clifford. Plummer, Frank Gerrish. Bill, Paul Kiernan. Sill, J.J. Neward. Margot, Christy Summerhays. Cleek Girl, Katie Fisher. Innocent Child, Georgie Diaz-Fadel. Mr. West, Dimitrios Deslis. Mrs. Rugel, Ginger Williams. Mrs. Mayhofer, Janice Power. Mrs. Simmons, Jennifer Lyon. Bill Jacobs, Bart Johnson. Mary Sullivan, Melinda Ratner. Post sound services provided by Sony Pictures Studios, Culver City, California. Supervising sound editor, Sandy Gendler. Sound editors, John Chalfont, Sue Cahill, Sam Crutcher. Music: 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall, traditional. Call and Return, written by Forrest Klein, performed by Hello Goodbye. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, traditional. The Human, written by Joseph Cherchi, performed by New English. Do Your Ears Hang Low, traditional. This Is War, written and performed by Ben Queller. Hey Juanita, written by Carla Savage. Sometimes, written by Michael Franti and David Schull, performed by Michael Franti and Spearhead. I Want You Back, written by Freddie Perrin, Alfonso Mizell, Berry Gordy Jr. and Deke Richards, performed by the Jackson 5. Under license from Universal Music Enterprises. Copyright 2007 Destination Films Distribution Company Incorporated. All rights reserved. Destination Films Distribution Company Incorporated is the author of this film, motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws. The filmmakers wish to extend thanks to Utah Film Commission, City and Citizens of Park City, Utah. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and/or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. TriStar, a TriStar release, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company.